Coming up on today's show, we have a little bit more insight into the Lightning Lane Premier Pass. Satuli is serving breakfast again for the first time in forever. And I have ventured into a package with Epic Universe. That is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 473 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
Boo. What's up, everybody?
How's it going, Adam?
Wonderful.
It's good to know that you're wonderful.
It
is. Mr. Wonderful?
The most wonderful time of the year.
That's true.
Yep. Halloween's over.
The stroke of midnight, they started putting stuff up in Disney World to turn it into Christmas season.
Yep. So. As soon as I got back in from trick-or-treating with my children, not by myself.
I mean, no judgment here. I mean,
yes. No, I go out trick-or-treating by myself every year after the kids are in bed.
Got you.
Then I put up the tree.
Did you?
Not really. I did not.
But well, I was about to say. I've seen those memes on social media where people are like, this is my tree, and they show like a shed or whatever. I've seen a few of those. They say like, it's still in the shed because, or it's still inside the shed because it's just November or something like that. I don't know.
Mariah Carey comes out for her yearly season. Did she see her shadow this year? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Locally, there's a station that I believe, I haven't checked it out to make sure, but usually like as soon as the month turns over, they start playing the Christmas music.
Yep. Does Christmas come early this year, or do we have to wait till after Thanksgiving? Does Mariah Carey see her shadow?
Oh, well, she's probably already being played as Halloween was over.
Right.
As they say, she was unthawing or whatever or something.
Yeah. Well, the TV commercials start like on Halloween night.
You know, it's funny. You know how you hear a song or you hear and you associate it with like a time and a place usually? Like, it's either like a first time you heard it or a place where you like heard it regularly or something like that.
Yeah.
So every time I hear that song by Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, I always think of the old record store in the mall because I guess when that song was first released,
it was
a time period when I was frequenting. I was a teenager, right? So I was frequenting record stores.
Kids don't know what that is today.
Right. You know, like, I don't even remember.
You used to go to Spotify?
Well, what's funny is we still called it a record store, but they weren't selling CDs. Records, to my knowledge. They had tapes and CDs at that point.
Yeah. Stamps, envelopes.
Still had a significant amount of cassette tapes at that point, actually, because that was around 91, 92, was it, when she did that? I think that's right.
Somewhere there.
I just remember that's what I associate with was hearing it played in that store. And I really can't even remember the name of the store because it was before it became Blockbuster Music is what it was before it closed.
Yeah.
But it was something else in between that. And for some reason, I remember the one well before that, which was called Record Town. But I don't remember the in between. So go figure.
Weird details, though, that we don't need to know.
Well, yeah, true. I just a little rambling on that. Anyway. You know, we are a travel/Disney podcast, right?
Oh.
So we have to, what?
We've talked about
other things before.
Right, that means we're having to talk about something else.
Well, we've talked about other things before. We have talked about trips to Dallas, Texas, for instance, that I did last year.
Yeah.
Where was it you went last year? You went somewhere different.
I can't remember what I did last week.
You went somewhere else. You went somewhere else in between your visits to the Walt Disney World. How many visits to Walt Disney World have you done this year? I mean, I know you got one more coming up, right? So
yeah. I've only done three so far until...
Three? Okay.
Three until the next week.
So you at least made the annual pass pay for itself by doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Depending on how many nights you stayed in those three.
Yeah, enough. Well, that's why I had to squeeze in one more before the end of the year, and then I'll be back again in January, so...
Right, you'll be back for the marathon.
Yeah, which the Wine and Dine was this weekend, another run event, Run Disney event.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one of the, I guess, live streamers, we'll call them.
Yeah.
was doing one of those, and I didn't I didn't actually see it, but I saw it advertised. So yeah, I was doing the Wine and Dine.
Yep.
I might go back and watch a little of that to see what that's all about.
Yeah.
See what their experience was like.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the marathon in January. I'm doing the half, of course. I said that before, but.
And I believe, didn't we have this, wasn't it open at this point by the time we did our show last week about the cake bake shop and the $25 piece of cake? We talked about that already.
Yes, we did. Yes, that was, it seems so long ago, but we did talk about that.
And it does seem so long ago.
Kind of how high the prices were. But and it is a chain, by the way. I think it's in Indiana, if I remember correctly.
Indiana? But it has a French menu?
Go figure.
I don't entirely get that, but okay.
Disney's their third location, but they have two locations in Indiana. I looked it up right after, Indianapolis.
Gotcha. I've heard a few people talk about it. I mean, they say that it's good, but they, you know, they question the price point being worth it, which is kind of hard to, especially when it comes to that $25 piece of cake, it's kind of hard to justify that no matter what.
Right.
Moving along, a couple of things. As we know, it's not going to be long before they go away permanently in some cases at Disney, like most of Dinoland, right?
Yep.
They actually put up the Christmas decorations for Dinoland for the final time. I remember once upon a time they put the Santa hat on the skeleton that's right there at the entrance of the Brontosaur, I guess is what that would be, or Brachiosaur, or whichever. You don't see it, though, in this picture. Maybe they haven't fully finished it, or I would hope they're doing. You can see the lights on him. They have that. And then, of course, we know that Triceratops Spin will be one of the first to go, so it can get working on. So you in your next couple of weeks, are you going to take a final spin on Triceratops Spin?
No. I don't really want to go. Not really.
You don't want to go there?
No. Not really.
What about the carnival games? You don't have to. Any plans to?
I don't even know if I'll go see that area and say goodbye to it. I really don't care. I might ride Dinosaur one more time, but that area where the Triceratops is.
You're just going to wave at it as it passes by.
Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I don't think in its entire existence that I think I ever ventured to over where the carnival games are.
I've walked through them before, but
I don't even think prior to 21, maybe 2. I don't even think prior to that I ever even rode Triceratops Spin. I don't think I had ever ridden it prior to that. I think the only time you did it was during the challenge, probably.
Yeah, well, I've done it
prior to the challenge.
That's probably the last time I rode it was on a challenge, most likely.
It's not exactly the one that you go looking for.
Mm-hmm. But when you used to ride Primeval World, it took 10 minutes to walk out of Primeval World, and you would end up over there by the carnival games. That's
the closest you ever got to
them. Yeah, right. It's cool. Walking through them on the way away from Primeval World.
Yeah. So construction begins behind Big Thunder Mountain already.
Yeah.
And they put up this weird backdrop thingy. I don't know what you want to call this.
Yeah. Almost like there's nothing to see here.
Right. It's like they're blocking what exactly?
Pay no attention to the giant curtain.
And the little crane or whatever right there, right beside it, that you can clearly see in this point, unless they're just in the beginning stages of putting something up to try to block something. Right. But
like the Main Street buildings, when they're refurbishing them, they at least have a tarp up that looks kind of like the building behind it. Can't they have a tree or something, a picture of a tree or a rock or something?
I kind of hope this is just the beginning of putting this tarp up because, you can, see straight through it. So what's the point of it?
Yeah. Just kind of slightly obscures your view of a crane.
Yeah. It's we just want to only marginally block your view of what we're doing. We're not wanting to completely block the view.
Are they worried about breaking the theming all of a sudden?
Who knows? No.
Anyway.
I don't think that's it. It's obvious, or if it was, I wouldn't even have put this up at all, because this is pretty bad.
Yeah. So, but I will say goodbye to Big Thunder when I go
back.
Yeah,
I was going to ask that one. I'm pretty sure you will.
I have to go say goodbye to that.
And technically, it's not goodbye. It's goodbye for now, I guess.
Goodbye for now. I do wonder if the railroad's going to end up closing again. I hope not, but...
Yeah, they keep talking about that. And we got to think that at some point it's going to, right? I mean, surely there's no way they can avoid doing it at all.
I mean, Big Thunder's track is like 10 feet away from the railroad track at one point.
Yeah.
So if they're going to like do a bunch of stuff, either you're going to see everything they're doing to Big Thunder, or they're going to close the railroad for a while or put up walls. Yeah. I mean, they could always do that too, but.
This is going to be the longest refurbishment ever for Big Thunder.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I don't think as much of it has to do with Thunder itself, maybe, as it does the other things they're going to construct around it. What do you think? I mean, some people have rumored to say they're going to replace a good bit of the track.
Right.
Which, I guess it's possible.
Track. It's possible, yeah. It could be they're just building a staging area for the... construction where they'll lay out the new track maybe until they can put it in place. I don't know. But I assume it has to do with Big Thunder. All of the staging they're doing is for the Big Thunder refurb, which, man, what day is it closing again? January 9th or something?
Yeah, it's early. I can't remember why they specifically.
Early January, so yeah.
Yeah.
Soon.
I think it might be like the 5th or 6th because it's like right after the
New Year.
New Year's crowds, they expect to be gone, yeah. It's like right after that.
Well, yeah, January 6th.
Yeah, and Jingle Cruise is in full swing now. It returns to Magic Kingdom.
Which is good. I'm happy about that. I love Jingle Cruise. I will look forward to that as well when I go.
So, do you want to take a quick jump across the pond, I feel we'll say? It's not really across the pond. It's just across the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, it's not on the other side of I-4 either, except for some of it, maybe. Did you see the animatronics for Monsters Unchained attraction at Epic Universe? Did you get a chance to see those?
Yes, I did. They look really good.
Yeah, I saw a video just earlier today, as a matter of fact, and the Wolfman, I can't help but see or think the comparisons with the Yeti as far as what he's doing, because he's going to be swiping apparently at the vehicle with that one claw, if you can see it pretty good there, and he's leaning forward. I almost feel like they did that on purpose to say, like, hey, we have a Yeti that functions type deal, or hopefully that's the case, right?
A monster that actually reaches out and grabs you.
Yeah, tries to grab you, and it's almost like they're going to say, it's like, you guys have had, I don't know how many years to try and pull this effect off, and now we're going to do it. I don't know that he's quite as big as the Yeti. It doesn't look like he is, but I could be wrong. So apparently the Frankenstein animatronic weighs like 800 pounds or something like that, from what they said. So they all look really fluid, though. It's some of the most fluid-looking animatronics out there.
Yeah.
So
they do look good. Speaking of those things, I was reading an article about the Yeti and cannons at Rise of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the main causes of the ride's reliability, was something with those cannons was tripping sensors on the ride path or something. Like something was interfering with it. So seems like instead of trying to fix it, Disney decided, let's just stop the cannons altogether because it kept causing issues. So it's, the article is comparing, you know, are the cannons the Yeti of, you know, Rise of the Resistance?
Rise. I guess if Rise ever gets to go down for a lengthy refurbishment, they might try to fix it though.
Right.
Right.
Maybe. But I think 10 years from now, we might be one saying, I do remember riding it when the cannons were working, because I think someone had put together a timeline saying that somewhere end of 2020 may have been the last time they were actually fully working.
Functioning, yeah.
So it really was a very short time if that was the case.
Well, even then, like, you would see just one of them work sometimes, right? Like, not both of them, right?
Right, yeah. So if that was the case, then it only worked from when it opened in December 2019 until the parks closed in March, and then from like July to December of 2020, and then they decided just to stop it altogether.
By the way, I got a little bit of insight today as well about these rides, especially the trackless ones, as to when they have downtime, as to what the reason,
yeah,
typically, not always, but typically is, like the most common reason for the downtime is a guest drops something,
yeah, on the track,
out of the vehicle and onto the track, and they pretty much have to shut the thing down. And in the case of Rise of the Resistance, once that thing gets shut down, it takes almost an hour to get 40, it to boot back up, basically.
Yeah, like 45 minutes is what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, 40, to get minutes. It to boot back up. So, you know, if you guys would just hang on to your stuff,
right,
you might not have as much downtime.
Yeah.
for Rise of the Resistance.
And I told this story about the last time I got evac'd off of Rise during my trip back in May. The cast member broke character and said the ride broke down because somebody dropped their Mickey ears on the, or mini ears or whatever, on the track. And it's like, hold on to your stuff. That's what they were basically saying. It was like, if you want to ride this thing tonight, hold on to your stuff, because that's what happened. Somebody dropped it. Now we have to restart the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the first time I've ever really seen someone truly break character. But it was basically to say, look, this thing keeps happening because people keep dropping stuff on the ride track.
Apparently, the number one reason for most ride evacs is that. That exactly, about a guest dropped something off of the ride.
Oops.
So,
because I did that once on Slinky Dog, which I've told that story as well, where I had my hat and then my sunglasses on top of my hat. I pulled my hat off, not remembering my sunglasses were on, and sunglasses fell on the track and tripped the sensor. And
if a sensor gets tripped that something's on the floor or whatever, that are on the track, it does.
I've seen it happen in Toy Story Mania where glasses were laying down on the track.
Yep.
Gets in the way, trips a sensor.
Yep.
So hold on to your stuff. Maybe Disney should be better at doing, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. Some people may deliberately do it. Who knows?
I actually saw one where this was like, I don't know, a matter of like 4 or 5 months after Ratatouille had opened.
Yeah.
And apparently this family waited like an hour and a half almost to do this ride because they were really looking forward to doing it for the first time, right?
Yeah.
And the ride had literally just started. Like they had only got to the scene right there at the beginning, you know, where the chef.
This way.
Gusteau. Yeah, and that little, like, Pepper's ghost effect right there.
Yeah.
He's talking about going that way, and then they had to get evac'd.
This way?
Yeah, and they had to get evac'd. After waiting an hour and a half, they had just left the...
Yikes. Is this way to the exit?
And even though they got lightning lanes to come back, of course, after you've waited an hour and a half to get to somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
deflating.
Imagine if you had you had waited a long period of time to say get on Rise for the first time, and then as soon as it started, it stopped. Just imagine how you would feel.
I'm sure that's happened to a lot of people. So
yeah, but yeah, and then there was another one where there was this family that got to ride Radiator Springs Racers, I think like 3 times or at least twice, because basically they had the ride shut down while they were in the middle of it 2 times. And they came back around that last time, and they even offered to give them a third straight ride, but they declined at that time.
Oh.
But it was kind of funny because it was somebody in the party's birthday, and so they got free rides on it, so to speak. So kind of cool. So, but yeah, because something happened during their ride, right? Like happened with their car during the ride, instead of making them get out, they just let them go on through and do it.
Yeah,
it'd
be
pretty
fun.
Much. Yeah.
So we waited 7 hours to ride People Mover when it first came back up. They were letting people who waited that long ride again, but we got off like idiots and got back in line and went through the line again, which wasn't bad at the time, but it was like they were saying, do you want to stay on? But we got off like we weren't paying attention, in other words. But anyway.
All right, so briefly, let's shift gears here to the cruise line. in the cruise line news, because the Disney Treasure has begun its 2-week transatlantic journey to Florida ahead of its maiden voyage. It's already on its way to Port Canaveral.
Nice. I had a treasure.
Not too much longer. We'll get to see people taking the maiden voyage on it.
Yeah, which is coming up.
I honestly, just because of the price point alone, I cannot see myself ever taking a maiden voyage on a Disney cruise now, at least anyway.
Right. Yeah, because everybody wants to be the first, so they're going to do
right. It's like $10,000.
Yeah.
For a room and everything that in, say, the slowest season would only cost you $3,000 at best.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just insane.
Price gouging at its finest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's more of a supply and demand thing, truthfully, but, you know.
So, in the next couple of weeks, they'll be doing practice or test, what do they call them? Sailings, test sailings.
Yeah. So, let's shift to the world of food in Walt Disney World for a moment.
Okay.
Because that's always a fun one to do anyway. But the first one is not so fun because the Walt Disney World employee who was fired, turns out, allegedly altered restaurant menu allergen info, prices, and more on the menus. A criminal complaint filed in the middle district of Florida alleges that a former Walt Disney World employee accessed Disney's menu management software to manipulate menus used at the resort complex. The defendant illegally accessed the menu management software after a contentious firing back in June. The fired cast member, I keep using the word alleged because that all is all it is at this point.
Yeah, it's not settled yet.
So you guys get that. I'm not going to keep using it.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, as always. Michael Schuer, I think if I say his name right, illegally accessed Walt Disney World's menu management software.
After he was fired.
Yes, after he was fired. He did this after he was fired.
So he was able to get it.
The complaint notes that some of the changes were more benign, such as changing prices or even adding profanity to the menus. I never saw one of those.
Yeah, I know. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, he would have known, hey, what's up with this? But the complaint also says that he manipulated allergen information on menus by adding information to some allergen notifications that indicate certain menu items were safe for individuals with peanut allergies when, in fact, they could be deadly to those with peanut allergies. And, of course, this goes back to that incident. I can't remember the names, but his wife...
Raglan Road.
Yeah, over at Raglan Road. His wife fell ill after being given food that was supposedly allergen-free.
Right. And which the timeline doesn't match up in terms of... Because that was
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't. So, I mean, unless they have... I don't know how often they change the menus there, though. That could factor into it. Because if he had accessed this back in June, you know.
Well, this was this year, right? Not last year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
However, it does say that the complaint says that Disney believes that the modified menus were identified by Disney, that they were not shipped out to the restaurant. So that kind of does not.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're saying they don't think that that led to that. Yeah. Although they get the perfect opportunity for a scapegoat if they really wanted to, but.
Well. At least they have a good QA department for before these go out. They're like,
yeah.
Wait, this has wingdings on it. That can't be right.
It's interesting, though. You know, he's like, he got fired, so he kind of took out his revenge, I guess. Tried to take his revenge in the digital world, which is just, that's the world. This is what we live in now, folks.
Right. So this is the equivalent of editing someone's Wikipedia page because you don't like them, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. It is kind of weird. And,
but you see, if you hit it at the right time, you see Wikipedia page before the, I guess, hired personnel catches it.
Right. You could.
You see all kind of weird things pop up at times.
Yeah. Not anymore, but yes.
Not anymore? What do you mean?
Well, you don't see it as often, I should say, anymore.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how, like, if a team wins or something, within seconds, it's updated on their Wikipedia page, usually.
I think I noticed one time where people really try to take advantage of it is when they have these events that are happening live, and so it's updated frequently, so people go in there and try to take advantage of that and screw with it.
Possibly.
So I've noticed that a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
So
kind of speaks to Disney needs to do a little bit better on their data security, maybe, because if an ex-employee still has access to get into certain
or had
systems,
ways to edit this sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's no bueno.
I don't know exactly how tech savvy this said employee was, but yeah.
Yeah. Or what he did, you know, if he had access to this before, right? Or did he, it would make sense that he still had access and then someone just didn't, you know, remove his access to this system when they should have, possibly. That would be my guess.
Yeah. So sticking with the food theme, I wanted to talk about Disney Springs and how Unite Here Local 737 is turning up the heat and continuing a fight for the establishment of a union for third-party restaurant workers.
Mm.
I think the there was a recent press conference and an alleged case of sexual harassment by a manager at Pizza Point in Disney Springs. Which there's been a couple of alleged misuse and things. I think one of the ones we talked about was involving Gideon's and their treatment of employees.
But we heard that one.
I'm still questioning the validity of that one because it seems to have just faded into the background. I think that one might could be chalked up to just some, once again, some disgruntled ex-employees, but who knows? So, that, I mean, it's possible if that's all that was. But, I mean, again, since we never heard anything more out of it, major, makes me think that. Then again, we didn't go looking either, did we? So.
Yeah.
See. But anyway, that restaurant owned and operated by the Patina Restaurant Group. Apparently, there were several employees that came forward and reported sexual harassment to the manager, but no action was taken against the manager. I meant by the manager.
Right. Okay.
But instead, it says one of the employees was fired for having a single earbud in her ear, which at Disney, I kind of get that. I've never seen anybody with anything that was not, unless they were a cast member that needed earbuds in their ear. I'm talking about, you know, you don't want to see people with like AirPods or whatever in their ear while they're working. So,
yeah, I suppose.
But how do we think this would affect if there is a union in Disney Springs for the restaurants?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, restaurant workers tend to be underpaid for the most part. Although we do tip a lot, or we're kind of guilted into tipping a lot.
In some cases. But, I mean, people who are on vacation do tend to tip better. I can say that.
I would think so, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. We'll see if it actually happens, though.
Well, this is the interesting part here. There was a survey, okay? So this is according to this potential union, Local 737. They conducted a survey of 69 workers at Disney, of Disney subcontractors at 18 mm-hmm. locations at Disney Springs. And the results were 59% work part-time, 31% of the 737 members are part-time. 46% have no health insurance at all.
Right. Yeah.
19% have health insurance through their third-party employer. 28% receive paid sick time.
If.
And 28% receive paid vacation time. So.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of basic stuff that most people should have, but.
Not always in the restaurant field.
Well, sometimes
I know it's
they
become
should.
More like that now.
they
I know it's
should.
Become more like that now. Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of, though, let's just say mom and pops that obviously can't afford to do this. But we're not talking about mom and pops here.
Yeah, this is Disney Springs, and these are usually pretty big chains, most of them. Yeah, almost half don't have health insurance, paid sick leave at all. You know, that's so if something happens and you have to be out, you know, a third of them can't even get, you know, paid for that, which, again, the restaurant industry makes sense. I'm not familiar, you know, with that, but at the same time, a third of them don't get any paid time off either. So that's kind of sad.
The only thing about unions, I get a little leery of them because sometimes they get a little drunk on power, so to speak.
Okay.
So hopefully, I mean, there can be a good one in place, hopefully, to help get things.
Sure. They're talking about on power, the people who are treating employees like this too. I mean,
well, that's true. That's the whole reason why they want them. But I'm just saying, if you get, just because one side is treating someone poorly doesn't mean it needs to be in reverse, right?
Well, yeah, there should be a balance, but the balance right. is almost never in the favor of the worker.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right. It just shouldn't be in complete reverse, because that's going to be bad for the patron, for one thing.
But when is the worker ever in power over the employer?
I don't know. There's some union people that it gets hard to fire people that are just not good. Let's put it that way.
I mean, there's some occasions, but I would say in general, the worker is...
I mean, like, I would say most teachers' unions, I mean, you have teachers that are just simply bad teachers that get to continue on because you can't fire them because they have tenure.
Yeah, there might be some, right, in the restaurant industry.
But that probably wouldn't happen in the restaurant industry. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they're going to ever, like, the restaurant tenure, although there's some people that might would have that.
I don't know.
All right, so the other food one I was going to do. Breakfast returns to Satuli. Which I don't think that I ever, it's been so long ago, I don't even remember, I don't think I've ever had breakfast at Satuli.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten breakfast there either.
I think it really just happened like when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever had the opportunity. So it was, apparently it was offered briefly when it first opened back in 17, and they've decided to bring it back.
I think that looks pretty cool. I would try some of these. Ooh, that breakfast bowl looks good. The French toast looks good.
I don't know how I feel about frittata and beef for breakfast with vegetable goat cheese frittata, basically, is what it is. So I guess that's... I think one of the more popular ones, if I'm not mistaken, was there's some sort of protein bowl. Let me see if I can find it. Slow roasted pork shoulder. Blah. Cinnamon French toast. That looks pretty good.
The yogurt granola bowl. I love how they say with Pandorian fruits when it's like, oh, that's kiwi, strawberry, and pineapple. Like, clearly that's not an exotic fruit.
Jam is to the side. Can't tell what that
is. It looks almost like blueberry or blackberry jam, something like that.
I don't know what that is in the yogurt, though. It looked like a string of pea. Oh, it's honey. Okay. It's honey. Just saying.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's banshee pea, but...
That's what they could call it. For all we know, it could have been a delicacy in Pandora.
Alrighty.
Anyway, would you try some of these breakfast offerings?
The chorizo and chard.
Chorizo.
Yeah. It looks like just a big slab of chorizo on top of it says slow roasted pork shoulder potato hash with chorizo and charred onion sauce. I would eat that. I would try it.
Yeah. All righty then. So, new pavement installation continues at Woody's Lunchbox. No sign of shade, yes. Shade structure.
That's
which,
funny.
We would hope there would be one.
Yeah, I'm like, there's going to be something. Like, what are they doing?
Right.
Just making it bigger, maybe? It needed more seating, but...
And this one, this new story, I think it's a little, like, this is one of those way too early... type deals, but the Hall of Presidents is changing in 2025. Well, I mean, obviously.
Well,
if they continue the way they're doing, that's the way they've been doing it, would change in 2025, right? I mean,
yes.
Although some are speculating that they're going to like get away from doing the
current
sitting president thing again. So, because obviously they have to replace Biden no matter what, which they normally don't expect to do until after. 8 years, not 4 years most of the time, but
we'll see what they end up doing. I mean, they have to keep adding new animatronics to this thing. I wonder if, I mean, they all kind of slightly move, right? But it's like, I wonder how much electricity this show requires because there's so many animatronics, but not a lot of them move that much.
I really don't know because, as I've said, I still have not graced its doors since 1994, so.
Yeah.
When they first did this.
Right.
I mean, I really haven't. It's just, as far as shows about the country goes, basically, this one's kind of boring in comparison to American Adventure. I think American Adventure is way more fun, even though it's all just me.
Yeah, it does make you wonder if they're going to change this altogether at some point. But
there were some people speculating them doing something like the Muppets, like putting them in there And if they, especially if they decide to close Muppet Vision, like decide to put the Muppets in the Hall of Presidents and do their whatever that was, the show that they did over there for a little while that they did away with. I forgot what they called it now.
Great Moments in History.
Yes, I think
the American
was it.
Ones, which is pretty funny.
Exactly. They can have a glorious 3-hour finale still.
Yeah.
Which is a tribute to all nations, but mostly America.
You got a minute and a half. Fun stuff.
This is interesting because I thought this was typical, but I guess it's just during the party. Minnie's Wonderful Christmas Time Fireworks is to replace Happily Ever After during the Disney Christmas week. So I guess it's going to be doing that fireworks show all week instead of just at the party.
And don't they normally do the parade Christmas week as well?
I think so.
Because, I mean, I've been there on Christmas Day when they've done the parade, so.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they do it that whole week or just from Christmas to New Year's, but.
Yeah.
There's no parties, obviously, right before Christmas.
Right. So if the main reason you're going to the Christmas party is the parade, then just go the week of Christmas, right?
Yeah, well, you might be paying
all that.
More.
Just, you'll be paying a significant amount there anyway. So that gets us to one of our final stories. I think we're going to spend a good bit of time talking about this, so it might take up the rest of the show anyway.
Okay.
The Lightning Lane Premiere Pass, which we had talked about it when it first came out, but now it's been official. It's actually out there. There have been people that to actually utilize it and see what they think about it.
Right.
We don't have any really solid stats on how popular it has been. Nothing like that so far.
Yeah.
So this is what the park pricing looks like. And, of course, we said Magic Kingdom's going to be $329 to $399 per person.
Yeah. Right.
Epcot, $169 to $229 per person. Hollywood Studios, $269 to $329 per person.
Crazy.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios is going to be almost the same as Magic Kingdom for, what, 7 attractions? Disney's Animal Kingdom, $129 to $159. I can only assume they feel like they can charge that for Hollywood Studios because it has, well, like we've mentioned before, E-Ticket Land. Even though it's fewer attractions overall, every last one of them is basically an E-Ticket.
That's the point. They're better overall. Because Magic Kingdom includes things like teacups and Barnstormer and Dumbo and Magic Carpets.
That's the other thing. When it comes to Magic Kingdom, you'll get to skip the line on things that you wouldn't really have to wait long at all for anyway.
Yeah, depending on the day.
Not so much the case at Hollywood Studios. I think the only thing at Hollywood Studios you probably wouldn't have to wait that long for would probably be Star Tours, right?
Yeah, that's consistently the one
pretty
you could
low.
Just get on and not wait.
I even say now, I feel like compared to what it was when it first opened, I think Swirling Saucers is pretty easy to get on now. I don't think that one
has
popularity.
I mean,
30
minutes or less at the most. I mean, 30 minutes.
And I think the majority of that time is just the way the loading goes. It's not very high capacity.
Right.
So.
And it can take long to load and unload sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. But pretty much everything else is relatively popular. So.
Yeah. Oh, and I think at Magic Kingdom, there's, 20 Lightning Lane attractions, so doing the math, it was somewhere around $17 or $16.50, I think it was, per attraction that you're paying for at that almost $400 rate. So is, teacups worth $16 to skip the line in? Definitely not. But, Tron, I guess you're getting a discount on Tron from paying $20.
I mean,
sort of.
So Here's the thing you've got to consider. So first, it's only available to deluxe resort guests.
Right. Sure.
Right. So you first have to be paying almost $500 a night.
Minimum.
Right. Minimum. In some cases up to $700
or more. Or
depending
thousands.
On where you're choosing, right?
Right. Yeah.
Per night first. And then you get the option to pay even more to skip the line one time. Might I add, you're using the exact same entrance as the other Lightning Lane guests. The only difference is they had to have a specific time.
Right.
So really, you're not walking right on still. You're going to the Lightning Lane. And if you just happen to join the Lightning Lane at a time when they have a significant number of Lightning Lanes returning, you're not really cutting your weight very much.
Yeah.
on top of that price.
Yeah. If said ride has been down earlier in the day and it's reopened, the Lightning Lanes are going to get backed up with people who had return times already and whatnot. So
let's just take Magic Kingdom, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The high end right now is what, like $400, right?
Yeah.
Right at it. $400 gets you the ability to not choose a time through the app, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And use the exact same Lightning Line as the people who do choose a time, and you still only get to do each attraction once.
Yeah. You can't repeat.
How many attractions, just if you had to guess, have you not been able to get to come up in Lightning Lanes on a regular basis? Do you think you could pretty much get all the ones in one day if you really wanted to?
Basically, yeah.
And only pay, what, $25 per person? With the exception of the individual Lightning Lanes, of course.
Right. Back in the Fastpass Plus days at Magic Kingdom, it was Mine Train was obviously the hardest to get to come up during the day. It happened, but it wasn't. There was like no specific drop times back in the day, that it was sporadic if at best. So you could get it, but it was probably the least likely.
Right.
Other than that, anything else was pretty easy to get. So
I know a lot of people have been talking about this. There's like, why doesn't Disney do something similar to what Universal does with Express Pass, right? But it appears as though they've just basically made this an option for people who already have a significant amount of money that go there and don't mind just paying extra to not have to wait in line and not have to use the app, essentially.
Right.
This is like a person who's well off, like a perk for them.
A convenience fee.
Yeah, it's a convenience fee.
A huge convenience fee.
For people who are already well off, so the only people I feel sorry for are the ones who are going to participate in this that maybe can't afford it as well, because there will be people that do that, unfortunately. Families that do that. I mean, just like I said, this right here, $400 at Magic Kingdom, if I were to take my family of four, I'm staying at a deluxe resort, right?
Right.
On first. Let's just, even if I did the least expensive one at $400 a night, $500 a night, I'll say, just to do that. And let's just say I stayed three nights, so that's $1,500 right there before taxes. Then you got $400 per person. That's $1,600. In Premier Pass, which is more than my stay at the resort.
Yeah.
Of course, the regular price of the tickets on top of that. So let's just assume I was paying $120, just to keep it simple, per person for the tickets. So that right there is $480, right, on top of that? So, I mean, and this is just talking about for one day, essentially.
Right.
Three nights, but then the other parts of the one day, you're piling up the almost like $4,000 here. Is that what I'm coming up to? It's insane.
Yeah.
But
you could sail on the Treasure almost for a maiden voyage.
Not the inaugural.
Might as well if you're going to throw that kind of money around. But
yeah,
I mean, it's not really worth it. But if you have the money and you don't want to, I mean, like I said, the convenience, that's really what you're paying for.
That's
kind
of what we've...
You can take it slow and...
Yeah, that's what I take this as now.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's for people, it's intended for people who are well off. Like it's catering to the rich, let's be honest. That's what they're doing.
The super rich.
Yeah.
Right, they're Gennaro's in charge now.
Right,
it seems so. That's what they're catering to with this one.
If you want to have a leisurely day and just get in the Lightning Lane for everything, I mean, that's the draw of it, is the convenience of it all. You don't have to rush. You just walk in. You can have sit down breakfast, lunch, and dinners, and still ride everything.
Right.
So that's the key there. You don't have to be on your phone all day looking at, trying to pull and re-pull and, you know, that kind of thing to get
the
best times and plan your day. And you don't have to zigzag the park, which that's another thing you typically would have to do, is getting everything in if you know what you're doing with lightning lanes and modifying and all that.
Yeah.
It's almost unavoidable to zig, you know, the zigzag. Whereas this Premier Pass, you just do it however you want. So
I can give you, let's just say, a little bit of comparison.
Yeah.
And what it would cost for Universal. Now, this would be including the Unlimited Express, not for the new park, obviously, but for the two original parks was what this would work on. But a stay for two adults, two kids,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at four nights. This would be at a value resort, actually, because you don't have to stay at the premium resorts, even though with the premium resorts, their price per night actually includes Express Pass for every day that you're there. So
right.
That one actually would be a pretty good deal on those. So say, for instance, I think the cheapest is about $530 a night, but that includes the pass for every day, not just one day and not just one time. This is the unlimited one, right? And they have a version that's not unlimited, but
okay,
you know, different prices.
Yeah.
And this also includes what they do, like a, what they call a cancel for any reason, which is still, it's only like $25 added for a cancel for any reason, all the way up until the day of, which is not bad. $4,400 essentially. And so this is four nights at the value. And it includes the three-park ticket.
Okay.
You get early. You get to get in the early admission an hour early to Harry Potter Land. And forgot which one else you get into early in the other one. So it's a three-park, three-day park-to-park, plus one-day Universal Epic Universe.
Right.
Right? So you get to spend one day there. Because they're obviously they're not opening that one up fully.
Yeah, of course.
At this point, because you don't know exactly how that's going to work. But anyway, the early admission to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Universal's Volcano Bay, which is 1 hour before this park opens, that's included for staying with them.
That's not bad. I mean, what you get, you know, it's not bad. Mm-hmm.
And the one difference with that Unlimited Express Pass is that's good for
multiple
just
rides.
The one day in this case.
Oh, okay.
But it's good for as many times as you want to ride something.
But right? Isn't there, like, you can't do Velocicoaster but once, right? And stuff like that?
There's certain ones, yes.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions.
There's a few exceptions.
Yeah, like Hagrid's maybe. It's probably another one.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
They have two different ones. They have what they call Universal Express. This is actually a two-park as well, by the way, Express Pass.
Right.
I guess you just skip the line, so.
At Islands and at Universal.
Mm-hmm. And they have a option of basically like a payment plan, I guess, like a flex pay. They have an option for that, which you could stretch it out up to 24 months if you wanted to.
Well,
to pay for it all. So
yeah. Like even after your trip or before?
Yeah, it could even be after. It's basically being financed through a...
I see.
Like Uplift, I think, or whatever it is.
Okay. So you're paying interest on everything too.
The thing is, I don't even know that it is. They call it FlexPay, so there might be like a one-time fee included with it.
Okay. So maybe it's zero interest.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of like, it's still, if there's a one-time fee involved, it's still kind of like paying interest, but.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, Disney doesn't have anything like that.
Yeah. They used to have the savings accounts for prior.
Right.
And they have, of course, the Disney Visa, but that's kind of up to you.
Yeah.
And the maximum time you get on per purchase is 0% for 6 months.
Right.
So, you can make that work to your advantage. So it's from the moment you actually put the amount on the card, right?
Right.
So let's just say you book a trip and all you pay is the deposit. Well, the deposit has a 6 month, you know, time frame to pay it off. And then however long it takes, if you decide prior to when it's fully due, you want to put, say, $1,000 on, it has a 6 month clock.
Mm.
And then, you know, each time you put something on the card, it has a 6 month clock as part of that package. It does have to be just a package, though. You can't just do a room only and get that same 6 month flexibility. It has to be a package.
I see. Yeah.
So that actually works out pretty good because you also get points on that as well. So there is that.
Right.
But yeah, I think some people probably they find that appealing when it comes to booking a vacation like that and they can pay it monthly.
Yeah.
Like a set amount monthly. That probably right. makes it feel less.
Less hitting you all at once kind of thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It'd be nice if Disney did have an option like that. But
sure.
Again, I've chosen to do it like right after that, like when the kids get out of school.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to stick with this or not. I might because I got to thinking about it. I was like, it still might be really crowded over there. But then again, it might not be too bad at some of the other ones maybe. But there's probably a lot of people buying a package still.
Yeah, yeah. So you would think, obviously, Epic Universe will be busy every day. But the
right.
other two may not be as bad. If they're selling now, these packages like this, you would think it would spread the crowd out. But.
Yeah, you would think. Another thing, too, with Epic Universe, I'm sure that there's certain areas that are going to be more popular than others. I mean, it is an entire park.
Yeah.
Not just a land. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, I don't even know how many attractions. So we're talking several new attractions.
Yeah. We know Nintendo would be very popular, of course, in the new Harry Potter area.
Right. The Monsters Ride, I think, based on what they were just talking about, the classic Monsters.
Right.
There is a How to Train Your Dragon area, I think, which I don't know how popular that really is,
yeah.
But we'll see.
But Nintendo's already out there in Japan and California, so people know it, and they're going
right.
to want to flock to it, because it also has the Donkey Kong coaster, which is unique.
Yeah, that one's different, because it's nowhere else.
Right, so that one's going to be a big deal. So
at least for now, it's nowhere else.
Right, it will be a draw, for sure.
Man, I know you... The Nintendo Land was kind of the thing that piqued your interest into going.
Yeah.
So are you going to do one of these things where you just go to Epic, or are you going to try to go to all of them at some point?
It's a good question. I don't have any particular thought on that yet, honestly. I definitely will hit up Epic Universe at some point, but I'm not eager to go when it first opens, to be honest. So.
Right. Well, I'm not particularly eager to go. It just so happens the time frame for kids being out of school. So I'm a little leery of the busyness. So I'm kind of hoping doing it after Memorial Day would be a little bit less, but I'm sure not a lot less because it will have just opened like 2 weeks.
Right.
Been opened.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do have the express pass for the one day. So I was trying to actually get the big things of the other two parks in one day is what the objective is there.
Right, just right.
Skip the lines.
Yeah. I'll see what you guys think of it first. I'm sure Jason will go too. But I'll see what you think of it and then decide if I want to venture out maybe later in the year or wait till 2026. I don't know.
But you never know with me. I am always known to make changes of some kind. Yes. Of some kind.
True.
Yeah, although this that we got coming up in January, I don't plan on making any more changes to that because the resort that I got is basically the one that I had, and I kind of really want to go back there. Except for this time, for this time it's Copper Creek.
Mm. Okay.
Section, nice. Which is still part of Wilderness Lodge. They just redid rooms over there. I didn't realize that initially, but
sounds good.
Yeah,
look
should
like
be
it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
From my understanding, Copper Creek is the basically like if you're coming from the lobby, it's the right side. When you're going out by the pool area, which is still a convenience to the main lobby, which is another good plus. I kind of like how it's located. Plus, it's not quite as expensive as the other ones that are in that general area.
Yeah, and it's like the Magic Kingdom deluxes are pretty compact, which I really like about them. You know,
I can go ahead and tell you right now, I will not. Be purchasing the Premier Pass.
Yeah, at Disney, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'll even need to during that time frame, to be honest.
Probably not, yeah.
Because, the main objectives are to do the newer stuff, right? We want to do Tiana's. We want to do the new Bear Show.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done Journey of Water. But, I mean, there's a couple of obvious favorites. And in some cases, if it hasn't already changed yet, maybe a couple of goodbyes to, like, the Tom Sawyer area.
Right.
They haven't announced that closure just yet.
A lot of things to say goodbye to. Yeah.
Not going to be able to get Thunder by that time because it'll already be closed, but
yeah.
I've ridden Thunder a lot more than some of these other ones. and I don't necessarily need to ride Thunder one more time before the changes, because I already know what I'm getting there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not like it's going away, but maybe it'll change to some degree. Even the layout might change, but
I would suspect that they're going to touch it as little as possible. This is going to be one of those enhancement projects, kind of like they've done with Mansion over the years. The changes that they've made have been more enhancements than they have been.
Right. But it is, since it is going to take a year, you would think they're going to replace the track or something, because adding the dynamite scenes wouldn't take a year.
Not going to take a year.
Or 2 years, however long it's going to be down.
Well, that's why I think it's a combination. I think it's, we're going to do work on Thunder because we have to take it down in order to build this other, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's
two birds,
real
one
thing.
Stone. Yeah. Might as well rebuild the track or whatever. Since it is 40 years old at this point, a little over there. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I just thought of this because we were talking about the evacs earlier. One I just thought of that they showed that was a unique one was an evac off the riverboat, which obviously you would say that wouldn't happen too often. Like, why would it have to be evac'd, right?
Yeah.
All I can tell you is for some reason the boat stopped, and this was in Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Disneyland version. But it's weird because the Tom Sawyer rafts had to go
evacuate
the guests. Yeah, to do the evacuation. They had to use one of the rafts to do the evacuation. They used the other raft to go back and forth to Tom Sawyer still, but they took one of the rafts to do the evacuation.
You think that would take a while, man, if the boat was full.
I don't know how many people were on it at that point. It took he said it only took like 45 minutes, which I thought was kind of short compared to what I would thought it would have been.
It must not have been super full.
But one of the things that was kind of funny was I think some guests were experiencing concerns about what's actually happened. Like, is the boat sinking? And I was like, well, even if it was, there's like 5 feet of water here. So.
Yeah, right. Just get on the second level. It's not going to be fine. Yeah.
Right. It's like, it's not the Titanic or anything.
Yeah, right. This isn't a literal river. It's
like, you could stand up in this river.
Yeah, it'll be fine. And there's no gators to worry about in California.
Not likely.
In Florida, I'd be like, well, it's shallow water, but there still might be a gator in there.
Yeah, so. The water there, like I say, it's like if someone were to try to dive out into it, they'd be surprised.
Yeah. It's definitely not deep, but that's not what I'd be worried about in Florida.
Yeah. Or you might have to be worried about a bear coming up.
Yeah, that too. Maybe that's probably too much wildlife potential. It's probably another reason why they want to close Tom Sawyer Island. They don't really have to. It's more of an urban setting in Disneyland, so they don't really have to worry about wildlife that much. Whereas,
it's basically Disneyland is now. I don't know how much it was back when it first was built, but now it's basically in the middle of a modern, I guess we'll say, area, like a city. It's like sitting in the middle of a city,
right? Whereas Magic Kingdom is sitting in the. There's not a lot around it still that's developed. I mean, in the immediate area around it,
Disney World is essentially in a swamp.
Yeah,
so.
It's a very, very different environment. So, a lot of more wildlife.
That's why they have certain areas in which they really have to be careful about sinkholes as far as how they build and everything.
Indeed.
There was rumors that was the reason for a lot of the buildings having issues over at Epcot in particular, Horizons.
Yeah.
Universe of Energy supposedly had used water displacement for quite some time to help keep that building in place.
I can't remember if it was Marty Sklar's book I was reading that was like, the site for Epcot was like way worse than Magic Kingdom's, and as far as being able to develop on it, it was way more effort to make it suitable.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why they did World Showcase Lagoon, was because it was not, like the land was unbuiltable, like you couldn't put anything on it, so they went with a lagoon. That's why it's so big. That's why they have that lagoon.
Yeah.
It's really the main reason. It wasn't that they purposely wanted that gigantic of a water structure in the middle of a park.
Yeah.
It had to do with landscape. So anyway, I think we've gone well long enough. I mean, we had a lot to cover, though. We had a good bit of things.
Yeah,
I thought
we had to catch up.
Well, there was even more that we didn't mention, because we didn't mention like the holiday treats and seasons and food type guide. Maybe we'll do that in the future.
I mean, Swan Dolphin, too. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
We'll get to that.
So you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, and Instagram. I keep doing that. I do that more often because I was so used to my spiel.
Yeah.
And Instagram, that is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store still. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel in which the episodes are actually on there now as well. Where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththewells.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththewells.com. Links to that and more are there.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Let's get out and vote.
Let's make our voices heard.
Although I've already voted.